You know, most church media resources out there are just a login and a library. You know what I mean? You go and you pay your monthly or your annual subscription, and then you get to create an account, username, password, you log in, and you can access hundreds or thousands of graphics and other media assets as well. And then it's like, well, what do you do? Well, you download them. You have to make sure you have the right programs like Photoshop installed. Then you got to install the fonts. And then you've got to customize that graphic to work how you want. Now, look, I'm not saying this is a bad method for, taking care of your church media. It's definitely a very useful resource from time to time. But the truth is, if you're like most church leaders, you actually want to take that burden off of you, that responsibility fully off of your plate, so that you don't have to deal with it. Well, with Church Media HQ, we are actually a full-service creative solution that works to meet your church's specific creative needs. So you just send us your requirements for a design, and we take it from there. And look, I don't want you to just listen to me and say, oh yeah, that sounds good, let's go for it. No, I actually want you to give us a try and make sure that this is a good fit for your church. So you can start your free 30-day trial of Church Media HQ, no credit card required, and you can get started at churchmediahq.com. Again, this is a 30-day free trial, no credit card required. During this time, we can do things like give you a new design. We can even set up a website for you. All of this is at no cost and no risk to you. If you like the work we do, then you can move forward with a membership. If you don't, no hard feelings. We're just glad you gave us a chance to work with you. So again, get started with your 30-day free trial, no credit card required, at churchmediahq.com. My team and I look forward to working with your church very soon. Now, today's guest is someone that I know from years ago, from my college days, and his name is Lance Schmidt. He works at Emmanuel Baptist Church in Newington, Connecticut. His dad, Kerry Schmidt, moved there about 9 years ago and became the lead pastor of that church. And as you'll hear, grew that church from about 100 people to where it is today, which is 700 plus any given weekend. Now, Lance is the worship director, and he does a lot with the media there at the church. And so we have a really awesome conversation coming up. So let's get right to today's conversation with Lance Schmidt. So how long have you been there now? And in it's Newington, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Newington.
Yeah.
It's, man, it's been almost 9 years. We're coming up on 9 years. Wow. I haven't moved here, and I pretty much graduated from college, came right out here, got married, and we've been here ever since. So, yeah.
And so have you been there pretty much since your dad came there, right? I mean,
yeah. He came here in, at the end of the summer of 2012, and I came January of 2013. So yeah, it was just a few months after. So it's been crazy, I guess, just seeing like the work that God's done here. I don't know if you want me to share a little bit about that, but
yeah, go ahead.
When we came, the church was just in a really bad financial position, just draining out of savings. There was a property and a worship center that seats like 900 people. Like it's a huge auditorium, but at the time the church was running like 90-100 people. I think there were like 96 voting members or something like that. So it had kind of dwindled down over the years. What once was big had kind of dying, and they were within a few months, I think, of having to make a decision. Hey, do we sell this property, and downsize, or what do we do? And God, moved our family out here. We've started to just see him do a revival work. And in short, God's restored the church over the last 9 years. I think right now, after, like right before COVID, we were running, I think, like 850. And now we're right back around that mark, and we're starting to see some growth again. So as far as numbers, God's blessed. We're just seeing lives change, and kind of a mini revival happening in New England a little bit. So it's cool.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome. I think something that stuck out to me that I remember Because I do. I mean, honestly, I listen to your dad has always been one of my favorite, like, kind of church leaders. Because, of course, you know, back when he was in California and I was going to college there, you know, kind of looked up to him as a ministry leader. And so, and I've always enjoyed his preaching and his teaching. And so I subscribe to the podcast there with his just, you know, Sunday sermons. And so anyways, I listen to that pretty regularly. And so I heard him say something, you know, back is probably about a year ago now, you know, kind of as we were, well, you guys, not so much, but, you know, we were trying to recover from COVID and come back. And he made a really interesting point, which I think is just proven to be really true, that a lot of churches are really attractional and event-based. And you guys have worked hard to be a more of a relational type of ministry, in that it's about community and connection, not so much about attraction. And, you know, he kind of credited that to, that's why it feels like they survived COVID. And I really think that that is something that a lot of churches miss, you know, is that, that connection. I mean, because that's what people are looking for, you know, really, when you come to, to church, you're not looking for necessarily, you know, some type of show or some type of, although that, you know, doing things right and doing things in a way that's impactful is important. But, you know, they're really, at the end of the day, if you're going to stay, you know, you might come for the show, but you're going to stay for the connection and for the community. Yeah. And, you know, that was just like, when I heard him make that point, I was like, man, that is so true, because I've watched all kinds of churches struggle in all kinds of ways. And, through this, and, the ones that seem to be, you know, surviving and even thriving are the ones that are so strongly relational and community based.
Yeah. I think there is something to that. I mean, we're always careful to say, like, hey, we don't have all the answers. Like, we've just been doing this for, you know, 9 years now. Like, it's not like, you know, it's not like now that we're doing church out here in New England, we finally figured out the right way to do it. No, we're trying to figure this out as we go, just like everybody else, you know. But so I think that's really important to note, that Emmanuel as a whole isn't going, hey, this is how you do it. But yeah, I think one thing we've just decided for ourselves and for our church is, hey, we're not gonna like put tons of time into filling up the calendar with all sorts of events. And we have, you know, some big events here and there and some big outreaches here and there, but they're more far and few between. And I'm guessing what you heard that my dad was alluding to is just our overall philosophy. We're not building our church through big events. So it's not like we have some big day where it's like, man, bless God, we had 2,000 people on campus, you know, and, you know, this many people saved and, you know, this many people that, that's not really how this ministry has been built. It is more through just word of mouth and, the gospel just kind of doing its thing out here in New England. And just, I think a big thing that we've talked about over the last 9 years is this phrase, come and see, you know? And so we've tried to just encourage our church family, hey, have those gospel conversations with people, like be witnessing to people, right? Like be a light in your community. But at the very end of the day, if you feel like you're struggling or you're having a hard time getting, you know, through to them, just invite them to church, you know, have them come and see. And it sounds so simple, but it's a principle that works for the rest of our lives. Like you go to a good restaurant and like, what do you want to do? You want to tell everyone about it. You know, if it's the best pizza place in town or whatever. So I think that's kind of how that's a big way that God has moved over these last 9 years. And that's probably what he was alluding to. But
yeah. Well, and that's, again, just such a, something that's really refreshing. And again, a lot of churches are starting to embrace it, but you know, I like that come and see. It's about what God is doing as a whole at your church and through your church, not necessarily about come and see one big, you know, event that we have going on or one big, you know, not to say that you wouldn't have that kind of stuff, but
yeah.
It's more about the overall, you know, movement of God, if you will, than it is about one in particular, you know, date on the calendar or whatever it may be. And I think there's, again, something very, something very just like I said, impactful about that. And not because I mean anybody can put on an event, you know, and I'm anybody in terms of like not just churches. What can set the church apart, or what does set the church apart? And I believe even if you get into the theology of it all, it's that community and that relation, that relationship, you know, kind of building or whatnot. So I just think that's really cool to see that playing out in the culture there at your church. And since we're kind of on that, I mean, as in terms of, you know, culture and church culture amongst the people, but also amongst the leadership, I think that's something that you're, from what I've observed from the outside, that your dad and your leadership there have really done a lot to change, maybe over the course of these almost decade. I don't know. I mean, you're obviously in it. Could you maybe speak to that a little bit?
Yeah. Man, that's a broad question. So it's hard to know, you know, like what to pinpoint and, you know, what to talk about. There's obviously like the church, like, I guess like the more public side of, you know, the church culture. And then there's like an internal, you know, kind of staff culture. And I think that the staff culture, once you develop that, it, you know, bleeds out into your church family, obviously. But I'm guessing you're just talking about everything as a whole. Is that?
Yeah. And maybe it feels a little bit redundant and repetitive to what we were just talking about, but you know, I don't know if maybe the way I should ask it is this, is, you know, are there some specific things that, in addition to saying, well, maybe the church before was a little more attractional and event-based and we've shifted it to be more community and relationship-based, are there specific, you know, maybe steps that were taken to, you know, improve the culture, or maybe even just actually create a culture? Most places actually, organizations, churches aren't intentional about culture at all. And were there any steps taken? And if so, kind of what were those?
Yeah. I will say, like, over the last 9 years, it has changed a lot. And my dad will be the first one to tell you. I mean, when we first came, like there wasn't really a staff, you know, like it was my dad and like a secretary here at the office and, you know, one other person at the office. And then God slowly brought on our team. So it's slowly like evolved, and we are, I think, at a healthier place now, even than we were when we first started. But I think overall one thing that, that my dad has just tried to lead us in that has probably bled into the church family is, we're not going to make this a like performance driven, like culture, like even within our staff. So, like that, even what we just talked about, like having, you know, big events on the calendar and, you know, big pushes for things. Really, I think oftentimes what's behind that mindset is, hey, let's go do something great for God. And there's definitely like that's a noble thing, right? Like that's not a bad thing. That's a good thing. And plenty has been done for the kingdom of God underneath, you know, that, I guess that style of leadership. But I think as we started to develop our own culture here, we just kind of stopped and realized like, hey, God's going to do this work, like the work that he wants to do here. He's going to accomplish it, number one, with or without us. And he's going to accomplish it whether we work 90 hours a week or whether we work, you know, 50 hours a week. Like God's going to get done what he wants to get done in and through us. And so I think there was a shift early on from being very performance driven of, you know, hey, you know, make sure you have this many people down the aisle and, you know, make sure you're, you know, coming to this event every week and, you know, that event every week and, you know, make sure you're involved in this. It kind of turned from that style of leadership a little bit to, not to laziness, because that's like the other extreme, you know, where it's just like, hey, yeah, like we'll just sit back and yeah, let's let God do what he's, you know, what he's going to do. I think there's like a tension to manage there, but it definitely switched from kind of performance driven to I guess folding that underneath more of a grace driven leadership style and folding that underneath the sovereignty of God, you know? So I would say we still work very hard as a team. Like we still communicate with each other every day. We're here in the office for the most part, you know, the same hours, like we're still working hard, pushing hard for the sake of the gospel, but we're not killing ourselves. We're not, you know, getting burnout. I think that's probably person to person, but, we're trying our best not to get burnout so that we can do this for the long run, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if that helps answer your question, but I think over the last 9 years, that has definitely shifted. So,
yeah, no, that's great. And honestly, I wasn't looking for any one particular answer. I mean, I just kind of more curiosity from my point of view, being one who, like I said, kind of has been following, you guys really, I mean, in one way or another for these 9 years that you've been there. And it's just crazy to see how much things have grown and how God has really blessed. And so, yeah, just kind of wanted to speak more to kind of get some of the secret sauce, I guess. But, you know, I mean, you're doing what any church leader should do and just putting the glory where it belongs. And that is with, you know, the Lord himself. And so, but it has been cool to watch, just to watch it unfold and to watch it even from here where I am. I mean, I don't hundreds, if not thousands of miles away. And I think it's just been really awesome. So, yeah, well, let's kind of shift our conversation to what we, you know, said we were going to talk about, kind of what we plan to talk about. You're the worship leader there, amongst other things, I'm sure, but worship is kind of in your main, I guess, scope there of your job description. And so I wanted to kind of, you know, get into talking about worship and how you've maybe shaped that culture, specifically your worship culture there, and how that's affected maybe the growth and, if you want to call it, success of your church as a whole. And so I'd like to just dive into that and see where we go with it.
Yeah, sweet. Yeah, I love talking about this stuff. So again, thanks for having me on. This is going to be a blast for the next however long we talk about this. But
before we get to the next part, I want to take a moment to remind you of the latest podcast from Must Increase Network, Connection Culture. You know, we live in a society where, though it seems like we're more connected than ever through the means of technology, that same media seems to be used in ways to spread toxic messaging and potentially harmful types of values that many families do not embrace. And that's what Connection Culture is all about. Each week, we give you helpful insight on the latest in technology and media so that you and your family can navigate this crazy media-driven culture and actually discover authentic, meaningful connection. And of course, use the power of this same connection to increase truth and inspire hope in the lives of others. Join us for Connection Culture. Each week, we're available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you listen to podcasts. You can also join us each week on Tuesday evenings, 7 p.m. Central Time on Facebook, where we release our weekly episodes. Either way, we look forward to having you join us for Connection Culture. Now, let's get back to the episode.
Man, when I came here, like I said, almost 9 years ago, I had some musical background. Like growing up, I was pushed to be in, you know, like kids ensembles and, you know, youth ensembles and just like anyone, you know, in a Baptist church in their teenage years, you know, probably singing something in some program or something. And that was kind of the extent of it. I had picked up a guitar when I was maybe like eighth or ninth grade and started learning that. And really when it took off was my grandfather. So my dad's dad is really heavily into the music industry, and, or at least he used to be. And he gave me I want to say it was my 15th or 16th birthday. He gave me a really nice guitar, like a handmade, you know, something he had been given years ago. And it was kind of like a, like almost like a family heirloom, you know? And so I took that up, just started learning it and just kind of fell in love with it. And college came, and, you know, like when you go to college, your world just kind of blows up, like what you thought life was or whatever. Like I said, that kind of just explodes. So I got there and I'm like, man, there's a lot of musically talented people here. So I'm just going to like, let them do their thing, you know? So I kind of, I think for the most part, just put down my guitar for those 4 years and didn't do much with it. And when I came out here, my dad, one of the first things he gave to me was youth. And that was what I studied to do. And really, we started to build just a solid youth program here. And a few months in, he goes, "Hey, I want you to take the music." And I was like, "Nah, like I'm good. Like, I don't want to, I really don't want to take the music. Like I'm naturally like an outgoing person, but I don't, I was like deathly afraid at the time of like singing a solo or anyone hearing my voice, like legitimately. I'm not saying that like as like a humble brag type of thing, like legitimately, I did not want to sing in front of people, unless it was with a big group. And so he was like, "You're going to do the music." I was like, "Okay." So, we started to kind of build the music program here from scratch. And, I guess just a little sidebar. I don't know if you heard me say this on Drew's podcast, but the first time I led music in a church context, it was really rough, man. Like when you were in Bible college, did you take congregational song leading at all?
Yeah. Shout out Les Wall.
Yep. Yes. Shout out to Les Wall with the 1, 2, 3. Right.
I can still lead at Calvary. That's the only one I can remember. Yeah.
Yes. You know, the 6-8, all that stuff. Yeah. That was the extent of, you know, my musical training pretty much.
Yeah. Nice.
So he told
me. So you
me
and
once,
me have just as much formal education of training when it comes to music then. So
we do. Yes. Yeah. You could basically be doing what I'm doing. So that Sunday afternoon, my dad was like, "Hey, I want you to, lead the music in church tonight." And I was like, "Okay, you know," and I'm super nervous about it. We just have a pianist and me, and I get up there and I start waving my arms, you know, and I don't know if you do this, but when I get in situations where I'm nervous, like your mind just starts to throw things at you, like, "Hey, say this or do this," you know? And, something from my Bible college years came back to mind. You remember Toby Weaver? He used to lead the music in college chapel.
Yep.
And he had this phrase. I hope you remember this. I hope I'm not the only one, but it was, coming into the last verse, he'd always say, "Let's hit those high X's, Y's and Z's." Do you remember that phrase?
Absolutely.
<Okay. laughs> This is great. So dude, you know, I'm like nervous as I'll get out. Like we come into the last verse and like a church family in New England, you know, who's like, these people are not from the South. Like they don't talk like that, all that. This church family that's from New England, that's singing a hymn. Now they have their song leader say to them, "Hey, let's hit those high X's, Y's and Z's." And I think my voice cracked when I said it.
Oh man.
And I just had all these people staring at me like, "What was that?" So, I don't know, just some encouragement, you know, if you're listening to this and, maybe that's where you are, or you've had an embarrassing, you know, part of your life like that. You're not the only
one. Man. So that's hilarious. Yeah. Cause I mean, that to me is just like, if I was in the congregation, I would have just thought that was a great joke, you know,
right?
But to everybody else, they're like, "Ooh, what is this?"
They're like, "Who is this idiot?" Oh my goodness. So awesome. Yeah, I love Toby Weaver and everything. Everything that I learned and at Bible college and all that stuff. But that was one of those things that just in that moment of awkwardness just came to mind, and my brain was like, "Say this," and I was like, "Okay." So anyway, that's kind of where we started. It was just me and a pianist and just a very dear lady in our church. She's still in our church, just one of the most incredible human beings I know. And she really saved our backside. She's like, "Hey, you don't have a pianist, I'll play for you." And she did a good job. She'll even tell you sometimes we had trouble staying together, even on the most basic of hymns, you know. So it was that was kind of where we started, you know, just singing hymns. Nice. Every service, me up there waving my arms. That was all that we knew to do, you know. And slowly over time, God started to grow his church here. And I think probably, there's a couple factors in our team coming together. Number one, my dad really pushed me, to be honest with you, because again, I was kind of did not want to get up in front of people. And I'll say flat out, like, I wouldn't be where I am today. Not that I'm anything, but I wouldn't be where I am today doing what I'm doing if it wasn't for him pushing me a little bit, and believing in me. And then The second thing that happened was we just, we started to look at the resources that God gave us, and we started to just try to maximize those resources. So, I mean, it was very little at the beginning, right? It was me and a pianist, but we went, hey, if it's me and a pianist, like, we're going to do, you know, this and this to the best of our ability. Like, if all we have is me waving my arms and a pianist that can, you know, follow me occasionally, we're going to do that to the best of our ability, you know?
Yeah.
So we'd get together before services or on Saturday, and we would practice. And I think because we were maximizing the resources God gave us, I think he blessed that. Like, he promises that in his word, right? Like, be faithful which is least, you know, and I'm going to bless you. I'm going to give you more. And so that's how I think our team started to grow. And I guess here's where I'm coming around to. As our team started to grow, we had to decide what was our team culture going to look like, and then what was our sound as a church going to feel like. Okay. So what I mean by that is, like, you know, are we going to be a church that has a 32-piece orchestra with brass instruments and violins and, you know, flutes and oboes? And are we going to be a church that has just a piano and a guy waving his arms for the rest of our lives? Are we going to be a church that has, you know, a full-on band and, you know, lights and, you know, all that stuff? Like, I think we just had to decide, what's our sound going to be? And early on, we settled on, hey, we want the worship experience to feel intimate. We want it to feel acoustic, and we want it to have life to it. So I think those were three words, or, you know, terms that would always come to mind: acoustic, we want it to feel intimate, and then we want it to have energy. We want it to have life. And so early on, we kind of decided that's going to be our sound. And slowly God just started bringing people to the team. And so we had the opportunity to develop a team culture now that we had a team.
Well, thanks for joining us for this episode. And don't forget to subscribe. You can check the show notes and video description to learn more about products and services from Church Media HQ, as well as details about the show's guests and content contributors. If you find this content helpful, please take a moment to leave us a 5-star review and share this episode with other church leaders like you. Also, be sure to check out our newest show, Connection Culture, available on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Church Media HQ is a production of the Must Increase Network. The show is edited and produced by Bo Snyder. The creator and executive producer is myself, Luke Clayton. And until next time, I want to remind you to try something new at your church. Why? Well, because you know that it's so much better to fail at trying the incredible than it is to succeed at doing just the average. We'll see you next time, right here on Church Media HQ.